Welcome to my Wholeness podcast, where I send you messages that help you create success that aligns with your whole self and authenticity. After a decade of providing leadership programs for major companies and high-achieving entrepreneurs, you may know me for my book, This Is How We Rise, or my conference, She Summit. I have gotten to know thousands of you deeply and the mental and emotional battles behind your titles. That's why I have launched Wholeness Coaching, Retreats, and this podcast to help you do the inner work to align your second half of life with what matters the most. Not only do you deserve to feel more joy, peace, power, passion on a consistent basis, our next generation needs you to model it. Enjoy this message. Today, I want to talk about high achievers and mental health patterns that I have witnessed and been collecting research on over the last decade of high achieving people in my programs. So it makes sense, right? Because if you know me for She Summit or my leadership programs or courses, it's been a lot of organizations sending their high potential people or their rising stars or high performers or managers, people that are upwardly mobile and have opportunity to rise within organizations, or it's been entrepreneurs or nonprofit social impact organizers, who again have that ambition and that to achieve and impact social issues. And really, when you build something that's all about leading change and in the leadership space, of course, you're going to attract high achieving people. But I also wanted to say that high achievers don't just relate to professionals who own organizations or work in organizations. They could also be full-time parents. And, there's a lot of full-time moms in the communities that I've lived in. And some of my dearest friends are full-time caregivers and parents and moms. And, they also have high expectations and are aiming to achieve high in terms of goals they want to meet for their children, whether it's nutrition, whether it's enrichment, whether it's academics, whether it's health, anything, right? So they also can hold themselves to this level of expectation when it comes to parenting. And high achievers are also teenagers and even elementary school students. I mean, my kids are 6 and 8, and I have friends in their classes. They have classmates who will wake up. One friend in particular, her son wakes up and is already anxious about being on time and being organized for the test and, getting straight A's in their homework and their tests. And so, again, high achievers are sort of everywhere. And again, there's nothing wrong with being a high achiever. Culture tells us it's a really good thing. We want to aim high in terms of who we want to become, the goals we want to achieve in life. But there are mental health patterns that I have been witnessing and documenting in my research through my cohorts and my programs, getting those surveys back, listening to the stories on the calls, to one-on-one sessions with individuals, and also my own experience as a high achiever. So, and I list these on my website, claudiachan.com, which has recently been updated and to share this wholeness coaching work that I've been doing with individuals through coaching, through retreats, through this podcast. And it's all about helping individuals to get healthier in the way they live and work and to create success that is more in alignment with their authenticity and with their well-being and with their true whole self. And that really success is not this, unlimited imaginary ideal of achievement or security or accolades or the best grades or the highest levels of income. It's really about defining what wholeness means to you and then to align your life to fully experience and express that. Okay, so let's let's talk about these mental health patterns that I have been sort of tracking. And they are common core limiting thoughts as well, CLTs, that I also talk about in my program. And the first one is this feeling of never measuring up to your expectation of yourself. And I think, you know, from the homes we live in and how, you know, I know that with young children, and right now we're in an apartment, a three-bedroom apartment, until we move into the house that's currently being renovated. And it's messy. You know, like, I have expectations and my husband has expectations of it being more neat more often, but there's not a lot of storage space. And, you know, that's an expectation that unconsciously, if the house is messy day after day after day, after cleaning it, then it, there's this unconscious feeling of like not meeting this expectation for myself, or whether or not it's the productivity of the goals that we've done for the week, right? Or it's for your business, or it's for work, or it's for, you know, the how many times you've gone to the gym this week or done your yoga practice. So I think that, again, it's 360 throughout, you know, our expectations for health, for career, for earnings, for finances, for, you know, or your marriage, your relationships, what have you. And this is something that really then, as we name this specific mental health pattern, it's really putting pressure on yourself constantly. And it's also putting yourself down, right? Unconsciously, that's what it feels like. And by the way, and I'll be saying this a lot of my episodes, is that 95% of our mind in a day is unconscious. So we are having unconscious thoughts. So just looking at, you know, a messy home can all immediately trigger this feeling of this unconscious, just downward spiral, you know, of what you're saying to yourself. And so that's just something that I wanted to name, and is the not measuring up to your expectations of the self, which then leads to mental health pattern number two, which is then this strive for perfectionism. And you're always not, you know, you're not, again, where you want to be or where you think you should be. And the funny thing about perfectionism is that it really doesn't exist. Like, you know, perfectionism doesn't exist, and yet you still hold yourself to that image. And the image is really like a ghost, right? Because, you know, you can look at people on the outside. I mean, literally the headline of my site is, you know, do you look really impressive on the outside? But on the inside, you constantly feel overwhelmed, tired, not enough. And so perfectionism doesn't exist. Actually, imperfection is what exists in life. And there's just no perfect one thing or one person. And, you know, there's 8 billion people on the planet, and we're all uniquely different and differently imperfect. And it's actually those imperfections that make us really unique and do things that are really innovative, and also what give us wisdom, in my opinion. So one and two are very connected, the never measuring up to yourself, to the strive for perfectionism. And I do think it's insidious. I do think it's pervasive. I do think it's universal. And especially amongst the female experience, in my 24 years of working with women and programs for women and deep, deep, deep circles of women of all demographics. The third mental health pattern is, or symptom, of high achieving people and just a lot of individuals, is the struggle then to be present. Because we can often find ourselves overthinking, or we're in the future, planning, organizing, or we're in the past, doubting, maybe regretting, you know, I should have maybe done this more, or did I do it right, or could I have been more that, you know, that's sort of past driven, or it is future driven, and the what ifs, or I got to do this, and don't forget to do that. And sometimes I think that we almost think that unconsciously we need to overthink things to actually then will our physical actions to actually, again, achieve that perfectionism. Like, we're trying to control certainty by overthinking. And And so what happens is it steals our ability to be present in the moment. So life also is in the moment, right? Like life, like tomorrow's not guaranteed, you know, yesterday's past, and today is life. This moment, the second that I'm talking to you, this is the moment, the second, this minute now that you're listening to me on this episode, like this is life in this moment, it's in the now. And so really thinking about how important and what we give up when we're not present in our life, not just present, but enjoying the present moment, like really taking in the present moment, because it is so, we're so blessed to be here. We're so blessed that we have the ability to inhale and exhale, and we have our breath, and we're blessed to be breathing. And so, and taking in this present moment and this precious thing called life. The fourth common pattern is the feeling guilty or unsafe or lacking if you are not being hyperproductive. And again, all these are cousins and sisters and brothers of each other, but I do think they're all specifically really different though. You know, the not measuring up to the feeling of guilt, to then, of course, does that feeling of guilt then, do all these things then lack to feeling unsafe? Because if you're not being super productive, then maybe you're not going to get that promotion, and maybe you're not going to get, your business won't succeed, because it takes grit and it takes this tremendous hard work and this consistency. And that's what we've been told by our older generations and by culture. And so if you're not being hyperproductive, then, you know, then you're not comfortable. You're basically always anxious that like you need to be doing something and you need to be being productive. And so this feeling of this idea of rest and being present and doing nothing and just being and absorbing and witnessing and your senses of smelling and seeing and hearing and touching and this being in this moment of life, like it's almost like that is a bad thing and you're not allowed to do that. And your body, your nervous system is like danger, danger, danger if you are not being hyperproductive. The fifth pattern I've witnessed and experienced is, which then of course leads to the chronic busyness due to the first four things. You're chronically busy, and you're chronically busy juggling the work and family duties and all the things that are on your to-do list. And you know that every time I see friends or catch up with people or like bump into them at school when I'm dropping off my kids or at some school event, or you know, friends that we're catching up with, it's like, how are you? Oh my God, it's been so busy. It's just been so, so, so busy. Like, what a season. I don't even know. Like, and then you could chalk it up to it being a season of life. Oh, like I'm just in a season right now. You know, it's the holiday season. It's like back to school season. It's like, oh, our company has this big deadline. But here's the thing, the season for high achieving people and for chronic busy people is the season that never slows down. It never seems to pass. It's always a busy season. And so it is this chronic busyness all the time. The next pattern in mental health that I've experienced and seen is therefore is the people pleasing, which also ties in on why we're often so busy, because we don't have boundaries. You know, we lack boundaries to say no, to opt out of things. And so therefore it can be tied to people pleasing and what will others think about me if I don't say yes. A lot of my clients have a hard time setting boundaries, and that's all connected to something deeper also. The seventh pattern is imposter syndrome that turns into self-sabotage. So the imposter is that voice. And really the imposter has been existent in all the previous seven patterns and core limiting thought patterns and emotional patterns that I've been listing, but it turns into this inner voice. And I love to name that inner voice and give them a name. Mine's Claudette. And for every client of mine, I help them name their Mr. or Miss Imposter. And so then what happens, because of that voice, we cannot we cannot go for things that we have the potential to. And we leave potential on the table. We sabotage ourselves. We shrink ourselves. And we don't put that idea out into the world. We don't raise our hand. We don't speak up. We don't book that meeting. We don't make that call. And we don't put ourselves out there. And or we're not creating or working on the things that we know we can be working on that we love and that could open up a whole new opportunity and world for us and a whole new chapter for us. And so we self-sabotage. That inner voice that we name, I mean, Claudette can be a real, you know, B-I-T-X-X-X, like finish the spelling of that word. And so the last one is the fear of uncertainty, which leads to over-controlling or just this hardcore feeling of needing to control and holding on and gripping really, really tight. And again, this is not only just, I think control is, you could often think it's something like action-oriented, like you got to plan, you got to be like 3 months ahead of planning your kid's birthday party or bar mitzvah or that vacation or something, you know, or because it's also this feeling of like, wow, well, my life right now, I'm never measuring up to myself. And right now, my quality of experience is not really where it should be unconsciously because of all these core limiting thoughts. And then you're like hyper fixed then on all these other things that you want to plan and achieve so that you can feel the sense of, okay, but you know, if I get the perfect bar mitzvah done and I get the perfect yada yada done, I can guarantee the fact that my kids will have a more, you know, have that experience. And I can guarantee the fact that we're checking the box and this perfectionism. And then, of course, then we're struggling to be present because we're always thinking about those things or we're guilty that we didn't do something well enough. And anyway, so we just tend to over-control and hyper-control when, you know, and what happens unconsciously is just we're in this internal vortex of consistent, you know, chronic busyness, consistent anxiousness, not being present, all of these things. And is this the quality of life that we want to be having? And it's amazing that high achieving people, there's a reason why high achievers have achieved high in their titles at work, their businesses, their grades, their whole portfolio, college application. But is that really, how's your health? How's your quality of daily experience? And are we so busy chasing and trying to achieve this perfectionism that we're actually missing out on life and the simplicity of how good and how precious every moment and every breath is? And that before you know it, the day is gone and we've been completely pulled into a vortex of working and thinking. And yeah, again, we're checking all those boxes externally and we look really impressive externally. Like when I bump into this, you know, this mom and like, yeah, okay, my kids got into this school and, you know, XYZ and you know, and how much of our lives are we really, how much are we chasing or focused on goals versus what we want to experience? You can go to claudiachan.com and read my whole manifesto on this wholeness movement. And really that, you know, my big aha came when I realized, you know, I'm not happy, even though I have all these external things, my quality of experience, my quality of health, mental, physical, because guess what? The body keeps the score. Guess what? Your marriage keeps the score. Guess what? You know, ADHD in children today, rising ADHD because of they're tying it a lot to the pressure that they feel from their parents, pressure that they feel in the household because it's such a pressure cooker of chronic busyness. And so, you know, yes, in this day of success, and I know as a Gen Xer, you know, my parents did a lot to provide for us and give us opportunity, but is our generation, whether you're millennial or again, young, my generation, are we just so gripping onto this perfectionism that we're really missing out on life? And so my movement now is radical imperfectionism, radical authenticity, radical defining for you what wholeness means for you, throughout your 360 of life areas, and how do we align again to fully experience and express that? Yeah, this is the work. This is the work. And I think it's really important. And I want to say this too before I close, is that because like mental health is a serious, pervasive issue. But, and again, when we say mental health, like I just broke down for you what mental health specifically can look and feel like, right? And it's pervasive, not just amongst high achieving, again, adults and professionals, but our kids. And we're modeling it. We're modeling it. And it's pervasive, but healing the deeper cycles and patterns that are creating this burnout and this mental health wheel and cycle is not pervasive. And that's what we need to change. And the reason why healing is not common is it's not popularized yet is because it's invisible, you know, and it's invisible and you think you could just bury it or repress it or compartmentalize it or suppress it. And I think the difference between suppression and repression is like one, like you're just conscious, you're holding it in and like putting it aside versus the other one, you know, you are. But this is, and we're so used to as a society to spend money on, again, the YSL bag or the vacation and the spa and the massage and the nice meal out and the nice bottle of wine, whereas we're not addressing, we're spending all the money on the things to cope with the discomfort and cope with the unhappiness. And we're not spending the money and the investment on doing the inner work. And that is what I love to do. When you sign up for my retreats or my coaching sessions, I do one-on-ones with you and I help you map out not only your inner programming of, you know, what spirals you upward versus what spirals you downward, but I also help you understand where it comes from and what it's connected to, because and really there are addictions, there are emotional addictions, and it really takes healing work. And by the way, and if you are somebody who doesn't experience these challenges, these internal invisible challenges, then geez, like I wanna be you. Like you have, like that's amazing. And but then I would just ask you, you know, are there opportunities? Are you just so baseline all the time, and yet there's a feeling of unfulfillment? And yet there's a feeling that, like, you know, especially if you're in midlife or like in your 40s, 50s plus, is, you know, everything feels really good and simple right now, but like there's something more in you that needs to be birthed, that needs to be put out there. And it's just this feeling of like blah, you know, and good. And, but there's more to fully live out who you're here to be and what you want to experience. Okay, much love, and go to claudiachan.com, apply for my upcoming retreats, and just fill out a free assessment. I'd love to meet you. I'll see you the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you felt this message in your soul. A few questions. What is the story on replay that you tell yourself about yourself? Putting achievement and appearance aside, how is your quality of life experience on a regular basis? I invite you to enroll in my wholeness coaching program and first ever retreat in New York City this November 3rd and 4th. You will experience a day and a half of deep self-work and alignment, connection with incredible human beings, and certification in my whole self leadership framework. This inner circle is my new community and movement devoted to creating a future where the work-life experience is built on wholeness, not burnout. Visit claudiachan.com for more information, and I hope to see you soon.